This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Did you see what the CEO of Disney said? Oh, I love this. You know, it's a little bit long. I'll tell you what. I'm going to play it for you in 10 minutes from now. I'm going to play you what the CEO of Disney said. He did another one of these conference calls with all the psychopaths who work for him. And he's a psychopath too. And there's something really weird that's happened in the country where all our scumbags now run the country and the accomplished people bow to them. It's very odd. But you know what? We're going to get to the important stuff first. And that's Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Jesse, Shogun, Cheeseburger Commandant. I like that. We all can see and know that Biden is totally out of his mind, senile. But do you think his hatred of America and us, he says, and us Americans was ingrained in his brain from all the failed presidential campaigns over the years? They say the memory loss begins at the end and works its way toward the beginning. He's got 30 plus years of failure to forget. Maybe he hasn't lost it that far back yet. Just wondering if he has a severe case of always the bridesmaid and never the bride syndrome, and now he's taking revenge on the American people who never elect him under normal circumstances. Okay. This is what I truly believe about Joe Biden, and honestly, this applies equally to Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, all the old Democrats. So I'm not talking about the AOCs of the world here. I'm talking about the old Democrats. This is what I believe about them. One, let's understand, I'm going to repeat myself for the 10,000th time, but it's true. Let's understand the three things they all have in common. No love of country, no connection to the real world, and a belief they should rule over you as kings and queens. But let's focus on number one really quickly here. If Joe Biden doesn't hate America, and he probably doesn't, actually. Joe Biden himself, now people around him certainly do, definitely the younger people and whatnot, but Joe Biden himself, does he despise America? Probably not. He's not in charge and the people around him do, so they just push him to do these things. So he doesn't despise America, but he also doesn't love America. So he's easy to push in a direction where he'll do something to damage it. You know, if you have a neighbor across the street and you guys get along really well, you're pals. Friday night hits, you're getting off work, you're going over to his house to play horseshoes and board games, have a couple beers. You're close. Your families are close. I got neighbors like that. We vacation together, like we're close. And some Thursday comes at noon and you're at work and he calls and says, "Buddy, I am in trouble. My wife is at home. I think someone might be trying to break in. What are you going to do? You can hang up the phone. You're going to go get in your car and you're going to drive over there and see if you can help, right? You can dive on. You can see what you can help because there's a love there. And if you hated him, you wouldn't. But here's the thing. You also wouldn't if you didn't know him at all. Now, we have a very close neighborhood, but there are tons of neighbors I have I don't know at all. If my buddy Luis calls me and he needs me to drive to freaking Alaska tonight or he's in deep trouble, well, let's fuel up. We're going for a drive. But let's say there was a neighbor out there I didn't know and he needed me to drive to Alaska. Call someone else, pal. Joe Biden doesn't love the country. I don't know that he hates it, but I know he doesn't love it. So because he doesn't love it, he's never going to lift a finger to try to preserve it. That's part of what you're seeing with Joe Biden. And there's a second part of this, though, and this part is really bad. The Democratic Party was not always this way, but there was always a little hint of this in there. And what I mean this is this. There was always been at least a little hint of America sucks. America's an evil, unjust place. America sucks. Now, that when you're talking about JFK or someone like that, and he's talking about being pro-union, and he's talking to a bunch of steel workers who feel like they got the shaft, and they think they should come together and get some better money and benefits, that's not the end of the world. You can agree or disagree with that. That's not the end of the world. That's a man trying to get a little more take-home pay, take the old lady out. That's not the end of the world. But it's still a foot in the door. That has transformed from, hey, America not treating the workers right. We should get you some more money. Hey, you should have a pension. It went from that into now the entire platform of the Democratic Party is America sucks. It's all one big version of America sucks. If Joe Biden's speaking to a room full of black people, remember what he said? He said, they're going to put you all back in chains. That's what he actually said. He said that. I'm not even kidding. He said it. You remember. If he's speaking to a room full of women, it's, you've never had it fair here. If he's speaking to a room full of LGBTQ Air Force guys, it's going to be, this country's been bigoted against you. It's every single part of the party platform is America sucks for this reason, and it sucks for you for this reason, and it sucks for you for that reason, and it sucks. I mean, listen. Even when they're celebrating something, it comes out.
It has taken 232 years and 115 prior appointments for a black woman to be selected to serve on the Supreme Court of the United States.
Michael nailed it. He just said it's almost like an insult. Here she is, rising to the highest court in the land where she will sit for the rest of her natural life. Live like a king, paid for luxurious trips around the world, speaking engagements from Hong Kong to Tokyo, baby. And she's acting as if she's been slighted that it took 232 years. Even the celebrations are dumping on the country. And because that's the Democratic Party platform now, well, it doesn't matter whether Joe Biden personally hates the country or not. Every single policy he pushes will be bad for America. And they're bad for America on purpose because these people think America is bad. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. All right. We have some more Ask Dr. Jesse. I want to play this really quickly, though. The CEO of Disney, his name is Bob Chapek. He's been in the news a lot because he, of course, spoke out against the Florida law that just said, don't talk to my kindergartner about sex. And he got really mad about that. And he's since come out that he has an entire division of LGBTQ Air Force nutters working for Disney. And I saw this video today, and he's on a video conference call with them. Again, credit to Chris Rufo for getting this stuff out there. Listen to this hostage situation.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. By now, I hope you've all read my most recent note, in which I pledge to be a better ally for the LGBTQ+ community, apologize for not being the ally that you needed me to be, and committed to ensuring that our company lives up to its values. I meant every word, and that's what we're here to talk about today. I know that we've got work to do, and that work starts with listening. I'm glad the company will hear from today's panel.
I'm sorry, I have to go off on something here because he sparked a personal note in me, and it just steams me to no end. Did you hear what he just said? It starts with what? It starts with listening. Remember what? Maybe you haven't heard this story. If you're a longtime listener, you've heard this story. Did I ever tell you how I lost my church? About 2.5-3 years ago, we had a church we just adored. Just loved it. Had been forever. And then St. George Floyd died. And all this America's an evil, racist place stuff started sweeping the country. And our pastor sends out an email to everyone in the church that he's attending a What White People Need to Know conference in town before his sermon on Sunday. So I can already see what's coming. I'm already steaming mad at all the lies that are getting spread out there. So I write him a private message. Nothing nasty, nothing at all. Didn't act like I was in charge. It was very respectful of, hey, I'd love a chance to just sit down and discuss this stuff with you before Sunday because I can see what's coming. And you know what he writes me back? No, it starts with listening. The exact same thing. And then, of course, she got up from the pulpit that Sunday and used words like white privilege and all these other things, walked out, have never been back, will never be back. Isn't it so funny how often the it starts with listening crowd, it's not a conversation. It's one person sitting there being berated. Why does only one side of the issue always have to listen and the other side gets to lecture? And it's weird how it's always some version of the communist who gets to do the lecturing. You have to sit there at all times and be scolded about how evil you are. Odd. All right, I actually have some more on that, and then we'll get back to Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Arranged marriages. What are my thoughts on it? I'll tell you in a second. And look, Disney actually is a perfect segue into this. Where are you sending your mobile phone money every month? I know you have a cell phone. If you have a family, you undoubtedly have a family plan. Are you sending your hard-earned money to Verizon so they can run that filth? To AT&T? To T-Mobile? Are you still doing that when there's Pure Talk out there? Now, I'm not judging you. I've had Verizon. I've had AT&T. That was my first cell service. The one I just switched from was T-Mobile. But I switched to Pure Talk because I'm done funding the people who'd hate my guts. It takes less than 10 minutes to switch over to Pure Talk. Less than 10 minutes. Average family saves over $800 a year. You'll save a fortune too. And you won't fund people who hate you. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, because they have a special. You save an additional 50% on your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm gonna get to the arranged marriages questions I have and so much more here in a second, but I have to play this for you. This is the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek. Tell me this isn't some of the saddest stuff you've ever heard in your life. This is him on a video conference with his employees.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. By now, I hope you've all read my most recent note, in which I pledged to be a better ally for the LGBTQ+ community, apologize for not being the ally that you needed me to be, and committed to ensuring that our company lives up to its values. I meant every word, and that's what we're here to talk about today. I know that we've got work to do, and that work starts with listening. I'm glad the company will hear from today's panel of LGBTQ+ employees, and I hope that you are as impacted as I've been by the voices that I've heard over the past few weeks. I've read many emails that have been sent, spoken with LGBTQ+ employees and their allies, met with advocacy groups, and convened my own leadership team. And I have been taken by...
Doesn't this seem so sad? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it play because it goes on for another minute. But isn't this so sad? That is the chief executive officer of Disney. Michael, would you do me a favor? I should have probably done this before the show, but you know I don't research. Would you look up his salary for me, please? I would love to know what he makes. But just understand, the CEO of Disney is one of the most powerful business people in the United States of America, possibly the world. And I want you to keep that in mind as I play this, because it goes on for another minute. This is one of the most powerful business people on the planet, groveling before the angry circus freak crowd. $32 million a year, Michael says. This man makes $32 million a year. Listen to this pathetic little nerd.
By the honesty, the openness, and the urgency of their stories, I want you to know that your words have made a real impact on me. I understand that we've made mistakes and the pain that those mistakes have caused. And I know that our silence wasn't just about the bill in Florida, but about every time an individual or institution that should have stood up for this community did not. I and the leadership team are determined to use this moment as a catalyst for more meaningful and lasting change. We've heard many suggestions on how to do that, and we are working to move quickly. I want to thank the LGBTQ.
Yeah, you get the idea. How embarrassing is that? And when did it happen in this society? When did it happen that everything got turned upside down? That street mob on the corner when you were a kid, the freaks with the green hair and all the piercings in their faces, and we all drove by and went, ha ha ha, look at those guys. Now they run the country. When did that happen? When did it happen? I mean, we have allowed these people to take over our culture. Listen, remember this. I played this for you earlier in the week. This is an employee at Disney. Think before you send your child to that next Disney movie.
The other big area is gender identity and expression. So doing all of this work to ensure that our employees and cast can express their gender here authentically and proudly at the company. So, you know, coming up with guides on how to change your photo, information about pronouns, working with our benefits team to give information about gender affirmation procedures, both for our employees who are transitioning and trans, but also our employees who have kids who are transitioning.
Have kids who are transitioning. I just, you know, that actually brings me back to, do you remember what I said on the 7th? Do you remember what I said on the 7th? This is a little bit long. This is what I said on the 7th. Maybe you're one of these people. Maybe you long for the days when we weren't so divided. Maybe that's true. Maybe you think, I wish this would end. I wish all this fighting would end. I wish we could come back together. May I just suggest this? Stop living in the past and start accepting reality. We talk all the time about how the communists live in this world that isn't reality. If you're wanting to heal a divide with these people, may I suggest, no, look, not trying to insult for once, may I suggest you're not living in reality. The reality is you now share a country with demons who believe children should be chopped up. And that's the ones they allow to live through birth. Why should I want to heal with someone who believes a 10-year-old boy should be allowed to chop his penis off by a doctor? Why should I want to heal a divide with that person? I want to be divided from that person. We're not near divided enough. This is why I talk all the time about wanting a separate country. And I know it's ridiculous, and I know it's not going to happen, but this is why I talk about getting a national divorce. We should not be forced, you shouldn't, and I shouldn't, to occupy a country who believes that it's okay to chop the breasts off a 12-year-old girl. You shouldn't ever have to live in that country, and neither should I. I don't want my kids to have to live in it. I don't want their kids to have to live in it. These people are sick, demonic freaks, and I don't have to act like it's normal. I don't have to treat you nice, and I'll tell you something else. I'm allowed to hate you. If you're somebody, maybe you're a doctor, and as part of your profession, you get paid to mutilate children, I hate you, and I hate what you do. And there's nothing terrible that could happen to you that would make me feel bad. That's how I feel about people who hurt children. and the fact that that can't be a universal thing for all 330 million Americans tells me all I need to know about the divide and the healing of the divide and coming together. I don't want to come together with you. I hate your guts. And you hate my guts. And that's fine. Let's live apart. Because I agree with him. What? I agree with what he has to say. Look, you know what I have to say to that? Of course!
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know freedom is not free.
You don't know what a no-fly zone will mean. If you have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course!
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. All right. On my life, I'm going to get to the question about arranged marriages. Hang on.
I looked under chairs.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're only halfway through. It's time to pick up the pace here because I have a juicy one. Look, we can talk about arranged marriages or we can talk about this.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
today, Junior?
No. Question first. Where do you stand on arranged marriages? I would be willing to bet that the success of these marriages are much greater than the average. While pondering, can you give a shout out to my 10-year-old daughter who thinks you're devastatingly handsome and is ready to meet James or Luke? He says she'll have a dowry and her name is Sophie Jane. Sophie Jane, there's your shout out. All right. Second. All right. So let's focus on the arranged marriages thing. You know I love America, right? That's well known. I would die for the place. I love America. I think it's just the greatest place ever. And every single minute that I've been blessed to live here, it has been an undeserved blessing, that's for sure. If it all comes crumbling down tomorrow, I'm going to thank God for 40 years in the greatest country on earth. However, I say that to say this. There are certain traditions in this country that I consider to be I don't want to say bad, but not the best. One of the biggest traditions, I think, that are ridiculous in America is our marriage tradition. I think every part of it is ridiculous. First, the idea that everyone should travel to see you get married. Now, hold on. Now, let me clarify, because I know everyone's mad at this point in time. And look, give me a second. I'm going to make you even madder, okay? Let's say I have a friend. Maybe he's an old Marine Corps buddy. And let's say he calls me and says, Jesse, I found a girl I'm going to love. She cooks, she cleans, total dime. She loves me. I'm marrying her. Okay, good. What happens from there? Let's say he's up in Seattle. From there, what happens? They send out how many invitations? 50, 100 invitations to people who have to attend the wedding? 200? What, a lot to people they want to come to their wedding. And let's say I get invited to this wedding and I have to go. Okay. So what's involved there? Almost undoubtedly, he's getting married on a Friday or Saturday, right? Well, it's up in Seattle, so I need to build in at least a day of travel time. Okay, so look, this is just me. Hang with me. Stay with me here. Okay, so I need to get a hold of the suits at Premier and tell them, hey, guys, sorry, I'm going to need, looks like I'm going to need a Thursday and Friday off. Now, don't get me wrong. They're wonderful. They complain. But all right, so boom, already I have to put in for 2 days off. The kids, James and Luke, are obviously going to have to come along, so they're going to have to get their schoolwork done ahead of time, get a hold of their coaches, let the coaches know, hey, James isn't going to be at track practice. Hey, sorry about golf. Sorry about this. Sorry about that. Okay, that's just James. The wife, let's say she's doing some substitute teaching, helping out a neighbor. Can't do that anymore. Okay, so that's just the stuff I have to get out of. Now, we have to sit down. You have to fly to Seattle, right? Otherwise, I'm going to have to take two or three more days off of work to drive to Seattle, so we have to fly to Seattle. I haven't looked, but I'd be willing to guess that's a $600, $700 plane ticket per person. Let's be nice for the purpose. Let's call it $500. They're not $500, but let's call it $500. Let's say $500 I'm flying up there per person. Okay, so now I've had to take off work 2 days. The kids are missing practice 2 days. We as a family have already spent $2,000. $2,000, and that is before we have touched down in Seattle, where I will need transportation. Either I will rent a car for, gosh, I just had to do that. You can't believe the car rental rates, $100 a day. So I'm there for two or three days. I either have to rent a car or I'll spend at least that much money on Uber. So now let's say we're up to $2,300, $2,400. That's before I've bought a wedding gift. That's another, what, $1,500? Michael, stay with me. I know I sound like a curmudgeon, and that's before this family of four has gotten a hotel room. We're not from Seattle. I got to get a place to stay. So where are we going to stay? Just normal hotels, right? Best Western, Holiday Inn, wherever, you know, this the normal places we stay. Oh, that's going to be at least $100 a night, and that's probably being really nice. Let's call that $150. You know what? Let's be nice and say we're at $3,000 before I've eaten a meal. That's probably very close to accurate. $3,000 before I've eaten a meal. Couple days in Seattle. Let's call it $500. Maybe we're trying to be as reasonable as possible. So you're getting married and 200 people have to spend $3,500 to come watch you get married? Our marriage tradition is old. Our marriage tradition comes from a place where most families lived in the same area and died in the same area. They didn't move around. So when you got married, yeah, the whole town comes because they're all from the town. Everyone goes to church on Sunday. Then everyone goes, gets in their horse and buggy. We all gather together and we all have cake, which is special. And we gather together for a wedding. Expect that many people to spend that kind of money every time someone gets married is absurd. I'm a big fan of destination weddings, and I didn't even have one. Look, I'm guilty. I did everything I just told you, right? We got married in Tucson, Arizona, invited people from everywhere. They just spent a fortune. So I'm guilty. I'm not pointing fingers. I think that's an absurd part of the marriage tradition. And I think a questionable part of the marriage tradition is the arranged marriage question. Now, when you say arranged marriages, I realize the image it conjures in people's heads. Romeo and Juliet were forbidden from marrying the family, that kind of thing. But if you look at it a different way, aren't you trying to equally yoke families when it comes to values and things like that? Isn't that more what it's about? And that stuff matters a lot. What do they say the number one thing couples fight about? Money. Okay, well, I'm not saying don't marry the poor dude, ladies and fellas. I'm not saying don't marry the girl who's poorer than you. I would never say anything like that. But if their family's dirt poor and yours not, maybe there's going to be a different set of values there. Look, that's just one of a million different examples. But maybe mom and dad should have more of a hand in finding somebody who's right for you. I mean, how many times, and maybe you're this person, how many mistakes have you made out there with the opposite sex? Look, guilty as charged, right? Guilty as charged. How many? No, you know what? I think this redhead will be different. We've all told ourselves that. She's not different. Yeah, that's right. I can change her. Ladies, how many times? Oh, I love a dude with tattoos and a leather jacket. It doesn't matter that the last three completely did me wrong. This one's different. I can tell he's got a heart of gold. No, he doesn't. It's going to work out the same as it always worked out. Maybe mom and dad, maybe they do have a better idea of who we should be with. There you go. I can't imagine how much hate mail we're going to get for that. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com is the email address. Remember, your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, they're all welcome there. And also, if you missed any part of the show today, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. We have another email here. Dear Dr. Jesse, I came home from taking the kids to visit their grandparents for the week and come to find my MyPillows in disarray and gone from the bed. I told my hubby as I was getting them back on my side, I feel like I've been raped. I don't think this is too extreme. These MyPillows are the best, and going without them for the week, besides having to listen to all the Kamala laughter you play, was the worst. Look, I have actually said this to people before. The wife and I have had this conversation the other night. MyPillow has actually ruined travel for me on accident. We have MyPillow pillows, MyPillow mattress topper, and we have the MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. And now, even if you're staying at a hotel that's a nicer one, the bedding sucks. It sucks compared to what you have at home. Oh, no, we've got a bed. We have a nice bed. Do you have MyPillow stuff on there? Because if you don't, it's not as good as mine. And they have Giza Dream Sheets right now, 60% off, 60. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Jesse, and you get Giza Dream Sheets 60% off. Go get yourself a couple sets, all right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Again, you can email the show whatever you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This one says, Jesse, when you yell, what, Chris? How is Chris usually reacting? Is he throwing his hands in the air like he's exasperated? Is he shaking his head in disgust? Let me think about this. Lots of times he is throwing his hands in the air. Yes, he does throw his hands in the air a lot. He rubs his head or his eyes a lot. He puts his head down and rubs his head a lot. He rolls his eyes a lot. If I say something that he's sure is going to get us a call from management, he'll throw his head back and cover up his face. He does that a lot. He worries. Look, Chris is a worrier. There are two types of people in this world. There are rule followers, and there are natural rule breakers. And I'm actually not campaigning for one or the other. I believe that you are how God made you. The wife, total nerd, rule follower. I mean, if there's a sign that says, you know, don't walk through this door, it would never occur to her to walk through the door. And it would never occur to me to walk past the door. Of course I need, what are they trying to hide from us? Well, I want to know what's back there. So look, again, I'm not campaigning for one or the other. Chris is a good balance on the show. Not so much Michael because he's more like me. Chris is a good balance on the show because he's the ultimate nerd worrier. Oh my gosh, we're going to get in trouble. Oh, we're not allowed to do that. I don't really think about things like that. Maybe you've noticed. Dear Oracle, Dr. Jesse, and not once but twice failed congressional candidate. You know what? That's not nice. With all the Russia-Ukraine stuff happening in the news, sorry for bringing it up, even though you rightfully feel there are critically more important stories to cover in America itself, he says. Anyway, I was having some thoughts on the whole Russian-American relationship and why it has been very hostile. While, yes, for years, Russia was under the tow of evil communist religion and is currently under a guy like Putin, is there somewhat of a case to be made that America is sometimes a bit too hostile towards Russia? One example is, of course, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when tensions more or less de-escalated when America removed its weapons from Turkey. Even from the dirty communist perspective, was their placing weapons in Cuba not somewhat justified when America had weapons that were placed that close to firing range of their homeland? In a similar vein, is Russia's suspicion of more NATO-aligned Ukraine, a large country with vital food supplies? Let's focus on this for a second. It's hard to discuss certain things in history with losers who are unable to think. So when you have historical discussions with people, make sure you're not dealing with one of those. Let's pause on the Russia-Ukraine stuff for a minute. Like the Civil War is a great example of this. If you deal with someone talking to them about the Civil War, and believe me, I've lived all over and I love people from all over and I talk to people from all over, you get this almost universally, unless you're in the South. In the South, it's something different, but if almost universally across this country, you get this. North good, South bad. That's all you get. Well, no, I think it might be more complicated than that. There was a states' rights. You love slavery. So don't argue with that person. Turn and walk away from that robot because they're incapable of critical thought. Of discussing a critical, a complicated issue with plenty of angels and demons on both sides. The South does it a little different. In the South, you'll get a lot of War of Northern Aggression. I love them for that. It's wonderful. But look, back to the Russia-America thing. It is complicated, our history, but there is a good reason it's been complicated. Communism is so evil. And remember, we knew, most of the world knew early on, back in the late 19-teens, the world knew how evil it was. And then the world got to see how evil it was as bodies just started stacking up like firewood. And the world realized, one, these communists are very aggressive. Two, this is deadly. And the Soviet Union, they were so adamant about spreading it elsewhere and funding it elsewhere. So when we talk about things like, you brought up the missiles that we had in Turkey aimed at Russia. That's a totally legitimate argument. At the same time, and I believe I'm perfectly fine talking about how complicated this is. At the same time, at this moment, Russia was knee-deep involved in South America trying to spread communism on our border on purpose. For us, we looked at that, rightfully so, as being an aggression. Why are you trying to move in here? Hold on a second. Wait a minute. You just took over Cuba? Hold on a second. So it is a perfectly legitimate argument to say Russia had every right to be mad about missiles in Turkey. That is a legitimate way to look at things. But do keep this in mind as well. And we'll get to present day here in a second. Do keep this in mind as well when we're looking back at Cold War stuff. We didn't know this back then, but we know it now because we have diaries, we have journals, we talk to the people who were involved and the relatives of the people involved, people who lived through the Cold War, and undoubtedly multiple people listening to the sound of my voice lived through it. And I came in at the tail end of it, right? I'm an 80s kid. But in the Cold War, I mean, this was the image I had in my head as a child. The big, angry, dangerous Russian bear, right? Those dangerous, crazy, murderous Russians, very powerful, could take us all out any minute. I grew up with that mentality. If you're older than me, you undoubtedly grew up with that mentality. But we know now from talking to these people in journals and since the communism, since communism fell there, we know they looked at it differently. Yes, that was the image they were projecting onto the world, but they can do math in the Soviet Union too. They knew what economies looked like. They were well aware of their economic output versus our economic output. Remember, during that Cuban Missile Crisis thing, we were in this nuclear escalation phase, and Khrushchev went out there publicly because we were worried about the Soviets getting these nuclear missiles. And Khrushchev said publicly, "We're churning these things out like sausages." Remember, that's not an exact quote, but it's pretty close. Khrushchev, he wanted us to know, "We're printing these things by the day." And now we know that was all a lie. No, they weren't. They knew we were. They knew economically and militarily they could not come close to stopping us here economically or militarily. That's why they chose to infiltrate our school system in Hollywood, which actually worked out really well for them in the end. But from their perspective, we were the big, angry, dangerous bear who could crush them at any moment. From their perspective, we were the aggressors. Now, I would dispute that because they were communists and evil and murdering all their own people, and we were not doing things like that. But from you can see from their perspective, if you read about it, if you listen to them, it makes sense. All right. Well, speaking of communists, have you practiced with your weapon yet? Are you going to practice? Tomorrow's Saturday. Don't you think we could do 10 minutes with our weapon? Pull out your Mantis X, attach it to your weapon, and dry fire practice in your home. Go to MantisX.com and practice with your weapon this weekend. 10 minutes. MantisX.com.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.